Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Will the Site C Dam go forward? Well, I guess it's technically going forward right now. It was never paused. It was never stopped. That was something that was offered by the province of British Columbia, Premier Christy Clark, during the transitional period when it was unclear exactly who would form government after that indecisive election in May. The offer was made to put tools down to stop as the dam was going forward. The man who would become Premier, John Horgan, responded to the Premier's letter with a response that was akin to, well, basically asking why he should believe those numbers, and Andrew Weaver responding in kind that he wanted more information before they would say okay to any sort of pause or stoppage of work. Work has continued. Approximately $2 million a day is spent up at the Site C project there. We've got just over 2,000 people working day to day, depending on what actual projects are happening at any given time. The expected cost of this project will be between $7 and $8 billion. At least that's what we're told. But here is the issue, folks. Is this the cheapest way for us to get the electricity we need moving into the future? That is essentially what the BC Utilities Commission has been asked to determine with this review. We know we've already spent approximately $2.1 billion in non-recoverable costs. So two out of the $7 billion, it's already spent, it's gone, we're not getting it back. If we cancel the dam now, we're expecting to spend another $1 billion on remediation, i.e. fixing the site, which right now has been cleaned and all the trees have been removed, all the grass is gone, they got heavy machinery all over the place. So if we stop right now, we've got about $3.1 billion goes down the drain. So that would save us the $4 billion, up to the $7 or more, depending on cost overruns. The question is, would we be better off to cancel the dam, to say goodbye to that $3 billion, spend the remaining $4 billion on different types of energy projects, and would that actually be the smarter option? Well, 10 years ago, absolutely not. It wouldn't have been, because alternative projects were much more expensive then than they are now. The problem is that the cost of alternative energy has come down so far, just in the last couple of years, that according to some, the value proposition of canceling the dam, remediating the site, and building the capacity that we need via alternative energy sources might actually save us money, depending on many factors. The group that has been making this argument, that canceling the dam would still be the least cost solution, Peace Valley Landowner Association. Now, they retain the services of an international energy expert. He's also a principal at McCulloch Research, an adjunct professor of economics at Portland State University. He has crunched the numbers, and they think that even with the lost costs on the dam so far, if we stopped right now, if we built alternative energy, we as taxpayers could still save a pile of money. They made their last submission to the BCUC review panel yesterday. Now we wait for the final report. Robert McCulloch, I'd like to welcome you onto the program again, sir. How are you this morning?
Very good, and thank you very much for the invitation.
So tell us what you told the BCUC panel, or your group told the BCUC panel when you met this week.
Well, first thing is, we said stop the project. And we said stop the project not because of environmental concerns, not because of a dislike of big dams, simply because the alternatives had gotten so cheap. And the price of wind and solar have gone down more than 60% over the last 5 years. Yeah. They're now much cheaper than Site C. Commission staff prepared three scenarios that would replace Site C. Those scenarios range from $1.8 billion to a high of $3.4 billion. Now, that sounds amazingly cheap. It is amazingly cheap. We've checked the numbers. They are not unrealistic. In fact, we can even point to a simple way to save even more money. So where are we? Well, I used in one of my presentations a song from Pete Seeger. No, I did not try to sing it. And
it's probably for the best.
Yes. And for those of you who are too young to remember him, he's a famous folk singer, and he wrote a song called Knee Deep in the Big Muddy.
Yes.
The context of which is, when do you turn back when you're on a really bad path? And so that's really what's in front of us now. We know there are better paths, but we also know that built into us is a stubborn desire to finish what we started, and that's generally a good thing. But in this case, it's actually something that will cost us a lot of money. Simply as an economist looks at it, we have a savings somewhere between $2 and $4 billion by stopping now. And those are big dollars. And if you let me run on for just a moment, this is not theoretical. This is not pie in the sky. Big wind farms are being built every day in the Northwest. In fact, two huge wind farms were announced just 2 weeks ago being built in the Pacific Northwest by Canadian firms. Those are relatively easy to build. You find a site, you order the equipment, it gets delivered, you install it. It's a 1-year to 2-year horizon. That is a tremendous advantage. Part of our problem with Site C was not that it was a bad project 10 years ago, but 10 years is a long time, and the market conditions have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we stop driving ahead of our headlights. We spend only the money we need to spend, and we move on to other problems, and I think that's probably the right answer.
Because with alternative energy, you can build it in a modular fashion. You don't have to build 10,000 turbines at the same time. They all finish at exactly the same time. They all go online. You can build them as you need them, or solar, or whatever.
Right, and the example I gave to the commission was very straightforward. We have a client at Longview, Washington, that's about an hour north of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
As I drove up, I passed a Burlington and Northern freight that had a wind farm. On it. 100 cars with the blades and the turbines. As I drove up, I got on the phone, asked one of my associates to tell me where it was going. Well, it was going to Olympia, Washington, a little southeast of the state capital. That will be in operation next year. It's already been sold.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to use the energy to drive light rail in Washington State. It's sold for $50 U.S., $60 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
That's compared to comparable prices of $100 for Site C. And none of that is pie in the sky. You can go kick the turbines. I'm not sure that would mean much, but kick the tires, so to speak. You can review the economics. Moreover,
now refresh my memory.
Buy the power.
Yeah, help me out here, because $100, I thought it was about 24 according to the Deloitte numbers. for am I wrong? Like, that's my recollection. Yeah. Is it wrong?
Yes, well, there's...
that is what the report says, though, right? Like, I'm not misremembering?
The emotions have run high at the BCUC, and BC Hydro's numbers have some puzzling characteristics.
Hmm.
The first thing is, you actually have to use the standard industry measures, which British Columbia Hydro have never used. And they've admitted in this proceeding that their numbers have some flaws in them. Second, they pulled out of that a large amount of money for going to 100% debt financing. Now, that doesn't mean much, perhaps, to everybody, but what it means in business is there isn't any of that. That's you going to the bank and say, I would like to buy the new house, and I would like to borrow every cent. So that assumption was worth $26 per megawatt hour all by itself. BCUC, Deloitte, all of the parties agree that is not realistic. Then they, of course, took out the cost of the alternatives, which actually made their calculation.
Well, it seems like that's the big issue here. Like, just from the outside looking in, it seems like the inability for us to peg down exactly what the alternatives, which have dropped by 60% in the last 5 years, as you said, it's hard for us to tell where they'll be 5 years from now when we finally need this power. That's the tough part.
And that is an interesting debate. Number one, all of the official forecasts from the U.S. Energy Information Administration to the International Energy Association all indicates that the price of wind and solar are going to continue to fall. And I'd make a pretty strong argument that they will. Number two, an issue that's come up in the case is, how do we find out what the future price of power is? And I've recommended we simply go talk to the people who have it for sale today. And those numbers are very, very low.
Mm.
Why is it that wind and solar have gotten so cheap? A lot of it has to do with assembly line economics.
And China. China's the big, huge player right now. It's rolling out solar panels on a scale unlike anything the world has ever seen, and prices are going down because of that, partially.
Right.
Yeah.
The more you do, the better you get.
Yeah. And they're doing billions and billions and billions of dollars worth right now. It's massive.
The example I usually use is pocket calculators. I'm old enough that I spent $400 for my HP 35 in college.
That was pretty nice in those days, though.
That was a pretty fine machine.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, to find a pocket calculator these days, you have to go to the dollar store.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten so cheap, we put them on your cell phone.
Yeah.
And this assembly line economics is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
The alternative is a one-each economics, and Site C is one-each, which means that every new project there's just one of, and you have to learn as you go along. The reason you have huge cost overruns on hydro is not because people are incompetent or corrupt. Neither is true.
Hmm.
But because you're having to learn as you go along. The $610 million cost increase announced a few weeks ago
from the river diversion
reflected that there were geological problems that no one could have known before they started.
What do you make of those tension cracks on the one side of the gorge? How much of a concern are they to you?
As a safety concern, I don't have a concern because they can be fixed.
Hmm.
As an engineering concern, it is a pretty good idea of what the future will look like. We're not far into this project. And we're already $1 billion over the original construction cost.
Hmm.
Now, in other provinces, specifically Manitoba and Newfoundland, we have projects further along that have also seen cost overruns because of geological problems.
Yeah.
If we're $1 billion over construction estimate when we're only 20% down the path, then the question you have to ask is, where are we going to be as we proceed down the remaining 80% of the project? The right answer is we don't know. No one knows. But we do know that similar projects in other Canadian provinces have had terrible cost overrun problems. And again, it's not because they're incompetent or they're dishonest. It's because you don't know what is under that forest until you dig it all up and find out. And what we found at the moment is there's some significant issues that had to be addressed.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. Our phone lines are open at 250-386-1161. Our guest is an international energy expert. He was retained by the Peace Valley Landowner Association and the Peace Valley Environmental Association to put together a case on the economics of Site C. He's making the case that because alternative tech has gotten so cheap, so fast, and it has, folks, like 60% cost reduction in the last 5 years alone. Like the same thing that happened with computers getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, it's been happening with solar power and wind turbines as well. So fast, in fact, that in the 10 years it takes to do the dam, it goes from being economically viable to non-viable because the technology is that much cheaper by the time we need it. That's the case they're making, and it's a compelling one. Quick break. We're back after this.
From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser. Here's what's happening.
Make your way to Duncan for the BC Forest Discovery Center's Halloween Train. Activities are running for eightfold nights of thrills and chills beginning Friday, October 20th. Enjoy train rides, trick-or-treat stations, live entertainment, and more. Remember to dress up in your costume. CFAX Santa's Anonymous Society is accepting applications now. Find them online or at 1420 Broad Street.
Watch for the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser from Campus Acura. CFAX 1070.
Hi, I'm Alf Herbie. You know, we always take pride in our local thrifty food, so let's talk to some of the folks inside the Fairfield store.
My name is Chris Steele, and I'm the grocery manager at Fairfield Thrifty Foods.
I mean, this is the original store. This is where it all started, right?
Yeah, back in 1977, I believe.
What about this store itself? Like, people come in, what do they ask for the most?
It seems to be this store is really for organic foods and natural food products. Produce is obviously a huge thing for thrifty foods in general. So I think our customers really thrive on some healthy food. And
what's your name?
Lisa Mann.
Busy family. You got two here?
Yeah, two of the three are here.
So you're busy, obviously. So what are you getting today?
Oh, just some dinner stuff and a couple snacks, some blueberries and produce.
Why do you keep coming back to Fairfield Thrifty Foods?
I like how it's organized, close to home. It's very well laid out. And it's pretty kid-friendly, too.
There you have it. Whether you're a staff member or a customer, we all share a piece of our favorite island grocery store. I'm Al Fierby here at the Fairfield store. Listen for me at your local Thrifty Foods.
Moose here. Yep, I'm a moose. But my favorite game to play is chicken. Road chicken. Yep, just me standing there and you driving around a corner. Come at me, bro. See you out there. Or will you?
The moose are coming. So be ready for them with a set of new tires from Fountain Tire.
You're ruining my scary vibe, man.
No, I'm still scared. Right now, get four select tires for the price of three, including Goodyear. Offer ends October 28th. Book your appointment at FountainTire.com today. Oh, I don't like that.
During the Honda Model Clearout event, there are a ton of ways to save on select 2017 Honda cars. Get sophisticated savings with a $2,500 Honda bonus on the 2017 Accord Coupe. Versatile savings with a $750 Honda bonus on the 2017 Fit. Or patriotic savings with a $750 Honda bonus on Canada's best-selling car, the Honda Civic. Don't miss the Honda Model Clearout event. Honda bonus applies to lease and finance transactions.
In Victoria, all roads lead to Campus Honda at 506 Finlayson and at campushonda.com.
Who is Solomon Elamimian? Is he a hipster with a man bun? Or the toughest guy you'll thankfully never get hit by? Is he a ruptured Achilles waiting to rehappen? Or is he running the 40 in 4.56? Is he Nigerian, American, or Canadian? Or simply a three-time league-wide all-star? Period. Who is Solomon Elamimian? The next game will tell us.
Lions host Edmonton, Saturday the 21st at 7 p.m. Presented by TELUS. Tickets at bclions.com.
Tired of that old stained flat pillow that you've been hiding under your pillowcase for years? It's time you got a MyPillow. MyPillow now has their best offer ever. Buy one MyPillow and get one pillow absolutely free. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, and use promo code CFAX. That's Buy One, Get One Free. Be sure to enter the promo code CFAX. Do you prefer to call? Call 1-800-586-6198. Same thing. Be sure to use the promo code CFAX to get this offer.
Trouble on the Trans-Canada? We'll get you back on track. If it's happening, it's here. CFAX 1070. This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, your phone lines are jammed at 250-386-1161. Robert McCulloch is an international energy expert. He was retained by the Peace Valley Landowner Association and the Peace Valley Environmental Association to compile an independent review of the Site C Dam. What he found, he believes, makes the case for us stopping the dam right now, paying the money to remediate it. Yeah, it'll be $3 billion. He says even then, the amount of money that it would cost for alternative energy, for wind, for solar, for whatever, would still be cheaper at this point than trying to finish the dam as is. This made even more apparent by the recent news that this thing's going to be delayed by a year because we're going to miss the 2019 river diversion, which means we have to wait until September of 2020, which means that it's about an extra $610 million tacked onto the bill. We can build a lot of solar panels for that. Our phone lines are open. Let's go to calls. Jeff, you're on the air with Robert McCulloch. Go ahead.
First of all, I'll talk about a current question, then I'll ask something about alternative energies. Anyway,
sure.
Currently there are besides site CPROD, there are other dams that are already out there, like one somewhere near Trail that needs hundreds of millions of dollars of upgrades, and I'm wondering like if we build Site C and all that, can we get away with say tearing down or dismantling some of these other dams and still have enough power? And also, one of the problems I've noticed, because I remember a few years ago, I don't know where the thing is now, they were build a wind farm on the northern tip of Vancouver Island, and one of the things that keeps coming up is it gets very political. Like, nobody wants to look, a lot of people don't want to look at these things and complain about oh, I don't like wind turbines or whatever on my property because it destroys the view or whatnot, and how do you think we can get over that and be a little more practical? Because I think we do need more alternative energy. I've been down this in many states where you go past mountains and all this, and you'll see maybe for the next 4 miles you might see wind turbines.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, that's an excellent question. Thank you. Robert McCulloch, your thoughts.
Okay, the first one's pretty straightforward. No, BC Hydro nor the commission has talked about tearing down any dams.
Okay.
They have talked about fixing the dams and upgrading them, and I think that's probably the path they'll take. In terms of NIMBY, not in my backyard, very serious issue. Let's not put any windmills in the Victoria Harbor. The real positioning, in my experience, has been out on farms.
Yeah.
This works very well unless you really like the view of a row of corn, which farmers do, but the rest of us sort of don't view as picturesque. Then what happens is the farmer gets the site payments, which helps his economics. It has no impact on his farming, and the outcome works pretty well. And if, as you drive along, you tend to see a lot of those, especially in flatter areas where most of the wind in the Pacific Northwest currently stands.
250-386-1161. Let's go to Richard. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. A never-ending argument. Yeah, there's too many more positives for this hydro dam as opposing negatives. You know, if we ever get our butt together and decide to get into industry where we look after our own, like recycling automobiles, you know, put them into a furnace and melt them down with extreme energy. We got a compost situation right now that CRD is looking for more land or possibly burning it. So maybe there's some extreme intense heat to run an inferno there to eliminate our waste products. And there's just too many positives to let this go down the drain. And the windmills and this and that and solar, it's all good. I mean, we can have that too. If you want to live out in the backwards of hilly-billy country where there's no hydro, you want to light up your house, go for it. But to shut down a situation like this where a positive end is positive, I'm going to go for it.
Richard, thanks for the call. Robert McCulloch, your thoughts.
Well, I haven't been called a hillbilly for a while.
But well, I think it was the area that he meant, but okay, fair enough.
I am a large Irish peasant, so I would fit right in. The key is we're not talking about some sort of weird green future where people are smoking marijuana.